The word of the Lord today, the unchanging word that we will open is from Genesis chapter 3. I will read for you the whole chapter. Please follow along. This is reading from the NKJV. Genesis chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam, he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the day of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Let's pray once more before we have the sermon. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for still giving us grace, even though we fall. And today we pray, keep our fallen hearts away and nourish us with your word. Help us to be focused. Help me to be clear and help your word to be proclaimed clearly. Convict every heart of their sins and comfort every repentant heart that they may live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we looked at chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. We talked about how God created man, Adam and Eve. So man encompasses both male and female. Both are created in God's image. Three times we looked in verse 27 of chapter 1. So we are created as God's image bearers. And as an image bearers, we learned last week as well, man must obey God's word. It is not that you obey so that you become image bearers, but because we are image bearers, you gotta obey. Because that is what we are for. That is who we are. As creatures, we owe God everything. As the creator, God owes us nothing, and yet we learn. God promised blessings upon Adam's obedience. He bound himself, God, the most high being, the only creator, bound himself, made a covenant, an agreement with lowly creature to reward this creature for what he should do anyway. What an amazingly gracious God. And that's what we understood by covenant. God binding himself in a covenant with man. Theologians call this covenant the covenant of works or covenant of life because it promises life. You do this and you live. You obey and you shall be blessed. The blessings are ordained to be given through the works. And then we also learn the command that God gives. There are four, the do's. You have that on your outlines. Fellowship, procreation, labor, and Sabbath rest. They are commanded to us because we need them. The fallen heart is always tempted to check. Oh, evaluate everything according to our biases. And whatever God says, whatever commands he gives, we always see that as a burden. Like, what does he want from me? It is burdensome for me to do it. It is so hard for us fallen beings to see that God commands it because it is good for us. So what happens next? We also see the don't. We have the do's and we have the don't. Do not eat the fruit. We see that clearly today in chapter 3. And we also hear about the fall. So our topic today is the fall. I slightly alter my title. It is the fall of man and the grace of God. That is not printed on your handout. I just can't keep the grace far later. It has to be proclaimed today as well. So today we will look at the circumstances leading to the fall, and then we will see the consequences of the fall, and I will help you see the covenant immediately following the fall. There's another one, and we will look at that. So first, we see the circumstances. Adam and Eve lived in the most ideal place, the Garden of Eden. The most perfect fellowship man can ever have with God. And yet, they sinned. They had the ability to sin or not to sin. And yet they sinned. This is what changed immediately. God said immediately, "You will surely die." And people usually say, "Hey, you are not dead yet. God is a liar." But my Bible tells me that the fact that we are sinners and sinners are still alive today, it is the proof that my God is a patient God, waiting patiently in His forbearance for sinners to repent. And my Bible also tells me that sinners are heaping burning coals, heaping judgment for themselves. But I digress. Let's focus the situation back in Genesis. I want you to see how Eve was tempted. This is the first occasion that brings to the fall, the circumstance that brings to the fall. I will call that Eve's imprecise knowledge of the Word of God. You can follow on your outline. Let's read together. What did God say to Adam and Eve? Genesis 2:17. Let's read together. "But if the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, Eve was challenged by the serpent. And then we can see Eve's answer. Genesis 3:3 together. "You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Can you see what happened here? The word of God is added with the word of man. The inspired word, the word of the creator, is being put at the level of the word of the creature. This is the problem with many churches nowadays as well. We add to the authority of the church. It should be Bible alone. And yet we have, not us, I'm glad, but churches have Joseph Smith, Russell, popes, and even ongoing revelations in different churches. And that is the problem. It all began also in the Garden of Eden. Man added to the Word of God. How do we add? Either you add it or you have imprecise knowledge of it. So that is the first step. Now the second one is from the other man. Adam's negligence in obeying his call to teach and lead his wife. Adam was the man God appointed. You shall have dominion. You lead. And yet we see that Eve is there, having dialogue with a stranger, a serpent, a beast. Where was Adam? The Bible tells us he was there. What did he do, though? He did not take action. So let's see in Genesis 3:6 exactly what happens. Let's read it together. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and ate." Did you see the problem there? There is the word of God. But my eyes are telling me otherwise. God says don'ts is bad. My eyes tell me it's good. My heart's tricking me that, no, I think I will be better. We are so easily persuaded because We have that tendency to sin. But Adam and Eve, look at the case of Adam. In 1 Timothy 2:14, Paul told us, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So what I am trying to say here is that Adam deliberately, willingly rejected God. He knows it is wrong. He was not deceived, but he chose to sin. The third point that I want to make before we go to the application is sin's power to entice is very strong, even to the unfallen man. Adam and Eve had the ability to not fall to sin, and yet their eyes, their hearts already go astray. They just choose to follow. Now imagine us here. Every thought we have, every word, every intention, I can assure you, it is tainted by sin. Our motivation, only by God's grace, only by His blood, can be purged. Otherwise, it's filthy rags, not disgusting. And if you think, oh, Adam, terrible man, I could have done better. What if I were the representative there? We wouldn't have fallen. That is the proof of our sinful heart. Look, Adam was the unfallen man. Among us nowadays, human beings who are fallen, we have, let's say what, Aristotle, people call them Plato. These people are smart, like really bright up there. And yet these are the fallen human beings. Adam was far more than Plato or Aristotle or scientists that we have today. And he fell. So I want us to learn from this. I write there in the lesson section, first we need to know the Word of God. The world is so enticing. Our heart is so terrible at following it. Imagine if we do not know it well. That's why the Bible tells us, hide it in your heart. Let's read it together, Psalm 119:11. Together, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is the way. Hide his word in your heart. John 6:63, together. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit. They are life. This is where you find life. The Word of God. People of God, have you hid the Word of God? What do you do with it? Bible sitting at home. How many hours on YouTube? How many hours on the phone? It is good if you strengthen believers. But can you fill others if you are not filled? It is good to minister, but if you do not know how to minister, how can we do it? We need to begin from the Word. Know the Word. Be precise. Study it. And the next one is do not have dialogue or do not try to reason with temptations. What does the Bible say? Flee, run. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Chapter 10, verse 14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also from youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There you have the church as well. We need to pursue it in the church. Where are you on Sundays? Where are you when the church is gathering? Is our heart there? Is our mind there? Is our love for Jesus really present in our prayers, in our reading, in our service, in our giving? And on the next page, I give more examples, just like Adam. A lot of men in the Bible did not take heed of the commandment God gives. Aaron, for example, he was called to be the leader, yet he did not provide godly leadership for Israelites. Exodus 32, you know what happens next. Golden calf, idolatry. Eli, the priest, did not discipline his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. What's next? 1 Samuel 2, struck dead by God. David stayed back when kings went to war. What happens next? 2 Samuel 11. He fell to sin. He saw Bathsheba. So the one thing that I can find here is that when we do not find ourselves doing God's commands, sin is there, peeping and waiting. So always be doing God's commands. Trust that it is actually good for us. That's why I will read. Let's read together Colossians chapter 3. This is verses 2 and 16 together. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you're bored, if you ever have a day you don't know what to do, this. Write it big. I write it on my door. I write it as my wallpaper on my tab. Just when I'm tired, when my brain tends to go places, I put a note, when you are bored. So I will click it and open it, and it will remind me this verse. And I can switch it to the other verse. But we are forgetful. The Bible is repetitive. You might have found out about that. Why? Because we are forgetful, and God is speaking to us in a way that's effective for us. So really take heed of His commandments. Now we move on to this next section, the consequence of the disobedience. Immediately you see, from the word of God alone, Genesis 2, verse 17 says, death. You shall surely die. Well, when God says so, it is so. What happens immediately? The promise of death. Adam will die. God sustained them. He made them tunic and on. You will see the promise later. But death is promised. Death is on its way. And here we are. Even babies die. Every human being who is born under Adam dies. Tell me how sure that is. Everyone can see. The word of the Lord is indeed true. And then in Genesis chapter 3, the passage from today, we also see shame, guilt, broken relationship with God. Adam just heard the footstep of God. Panic. Ran. It's like children. Uh-oh, mom is here. We just desecrate the house. Run. Stop. Like, if you feel the same way, that's the mini picture of what Adam and Eve felt. Guilt. Shame. You can't even look at yourself. And that is what sin brings. The pleasure is just for a moment, but the consequence is for life. And worse is the broken relationship with God. And verses 11 to 13, you also see broken relationship with fellow man, Adam and Eve. They start blaming each other. No, that woman! And then they'll blame each other. Nobody's taking responsibility. No love shown there. Look at what Jesus does. He covers you under His wings. He covers sins for His people. And here we see what? Push each other, point at each other. And this is the fallen world that we live in. So Christians, don't be surprised. This is told in the Bible, and we chose it. In Adam, we all chose that. More than that, we have curses, verses 16 to 19. We read that past part already. You see, the ground, the land is cursed. Our work is cursed. We are called to have fellowship. It's cursed. Relationship becomes really hard. Expectations becomes just inhuman. We talked about this last week. What is only supposed to be fulfilled from God, by God? We expect that from our spouses or from our parents or friends. Who can be with you for you 24/7? That's only Jesus. But we run to human being, expecting them to fulfill our needs. Whatever we do is cursed because of the sin. So the creation ordinances, the 4 points that we mentioned earlier, they are still mandatory. How do I know that? It is there. You shall eat from your toil. You still have to work, right? And then now work and rest balance become hard. And then you also have procreation. Now you shall have pain with that. What about the pain? It is pain in childbearing itself, in raising children. Parents probably can speak to that already. Even babies are selfish beings. You don't have to teach babies to sin. They know all well how to, because we are all fallen creatures. In pain, we shall have fellowship. The desires are twisted. So after the fall, the important aspect that I have to point out is we are still the image bearers of God. But we are marred and tainted. But what is the implication of that? Every life is precious. All kind of defects, physical, spirituals, they are all because of sin. If you see baby being born defective with disabilities, it is because of sin. If you see your heart from birth, you have inclination to anger, or some has inclination to certain sins that we don't have to mention, it's all because of sin. And yet, you are still the image of God. No baby deserves to be aborted for that. Even the old ones, when they start losing their memories, their capability to speak, they are still the image of God, and they deserve to live and to be served, because they are still image bearers of God. Can you see how Christianity gives men their true values? The world tries to pin it on something else, but the Bible has it in the Word of God. You are created in His image. We find it in Romans 5:12. Let's read it together. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. We are all tainted. Every part of us is tainted. So my point, do not be surprised. You see, persecution, don't be surprised. But be surprised with salvation from God. That is something we do not deserve. We chose to go away from God. He came to us, we leave Him. And yet He still comes. And He gives another promise. Let's look into that. The covenant that Adam broke brought sin, curses, death. But immediately in verse 15, we have another promise. The promise begins from 14, actually. Satan is cursed. That is a blessing for us. And in verse 15, we have enmity between Satan and Eve's offspring, that is us. And that is also a blessing. There will be always a war, evil and good. And then the next point, the most important one, is the one seed that will destroy the enemy is promised. Pastor Brian did mention it earlier already, and he quote Galatians 3:16. I'll read it quickly. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. and to your seed, who is Christ. So we have revelation who the seed is. That is Christ Jesus. We find that also in Romans 5:17. Let's read it together. For if because one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. That is the man, the second Adam. If the first man broke the covenant, the second man kept it perfectly. I made a table for you to check, compare. The first Adam is from the earth. He did not exist before. Funny churches teach you we have pre-existence. No, we were created there from the ground, from the dust. But Jesus, this man was the everlasting, ever-living God, came as man. So that's why in Corinthians we see Jesus, the second Adam, came from heaven. So Adam was the covenant representative, the head of those who are born of the flesh. If you have flesh, you are children of Adam. Simple. But Jesus Christ is the covenant head of those who are born by the Spirit. And who is that? Every true believer. Location. Adam was in Eden when he sinned. That was the perfect place to obey. He was in communion with God. And he sinned. He chose to go away. Look at my Jesus. He was tempted in wilderness and in Gethsemane, even on the cross. And to the last point, he obeyed. The exact opposite, and he obeyed. So don't rely on situations. Don't blame circumstances when you are tempted. Trust in the Word of God that He will provide a way out. First Adam brought us death. His life brings us death. But the obedient one, Jesus Christ, His death brings us life. And therefore we see God's ultimate goal. Why does He institute the second covenant with Jesus as the head? Because God longs to dwell with His people. And the promise is spelled out in Revelation, chapter 21, verse 3, the last book. Let's read it together. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. This is the ultimate goal. And you may ask, why? I will tell you the secret. For the glory of our God. This is what Adam was created for. For the glory of God. He failed. Therefore, God gives the covenant of grace through Jesus Christ that man will once again be restored. So this is the story of the Bible from Genesis 3 onwards. It's unraveling the covenant of redemption, the covenant of grace. You will see that being exposited slowly but surely. You can see on the diagram. There are two covenants from what we see. With Adam and his offspring, that's the covenant of works or covenant of life. And with Christ and His elect, we call that covenant of grace. And it will be spelled out in covenant with Noah, Abraham, Moses, David. The new covenant is all one that will be fulfilled and has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. A short lesson for us is do not lose sight of this main story. Everything in your life is part of this unraveling. Every pain, every joy, every sorrow, every pleasure is to reflect Christ and to bring Him glory. And let me close with this. The covenant people await eagerly for this covenant promise. You can see that from Adam and Eve immediately. peep quickly to chapter 4. We did not read that. So chapter 4, verse 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, this is the meaning of the name, I have acquired a man from the Lord. But the word Cain really means, I got him. Here he is. What do you think Eve was expecting? The seed. It was, maybe this is the seed. This is the seed. But not that one. And then you see the situation in chapter 4. And then Seth came in the picture. What is the meaning? Genesis 4:25. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel. So even the name Seth is what? The appointed. The compensation. So Adam and Eve waited eagerly for the promise. What about in New Testament? Apostle Paul, Romans 16:20. Let's read it together. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Is this your story? Is this your expectation? What is your greatest desire in this life? You may proclaim yourself, call yourself Christians, but check your hearts. What gives you most joy? What grieves you the most? When you see the churches persecuted, do you identify with them? When the gospel is proclaimed and somebody believes, do you rejoice with them? Do you take part in prayer for the preaching of the word, for the evangelizing out there? Do you go out yourself? Is this your business? Because that reveals who you truly belong to. If you truly belong to Jesus Christ, if you truly have been born again, you will have that desire. It could be there even though weak. It might be very faint, but it's there. And if it is not, don't fear. The gospel is preached today, and you just need to believe. Because he promised for those who believe and confess with his mouth or her mouth that Jesus is Savior and Lord, salvation is granted. So today, God is still waiting patiently. Will you come? Will you commit your life to him? Will you live for him? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your abundance of grace. We sin multiple times. We left your throne multiple times. We bring shame to your name. We do not live up to our calling. And you are there, ready to forgive us, calling us to come home. Help us to truly believe that forgiveness is only found in the Lord. Help us to run to you because we do and believe the Spirit works in our heart, giving us a desire to love you and to know you more. And for those who have not trusted in your name, convict every heart, O Lord, that they will not perish. Let them not wait for one more day. Because we also pray for the coming of our King. O Lord, come soon. Crush completely the Satan so that we may be finally united with you. And until that day, keep us faithful and keep us hopeful and keep us diligent, the church militant down here, to bring you glory and not shame. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.